John chapter 3. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's how we get through. People say, well, God didn't do this, I prayed for this, and it didn't happen. Well, praise Him anyway.
Yeah.
Because He has a better plan for whatever was going to happen. And we just have to keep praising Him no matter what. He's always there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And I've lived through enough things to know that He has never one time left me by myself.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You get in the midst of this service. You're already here. We would just like You to have liberty with us. Save souls, change lives, make us better. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to tell you a couple things here very, very plainly. If you've spent any time around me, you know I love to preach, and I love the fire of God. I love the excitement of God, but more than that, I like the truth of God. In the very beginning of this, I just want to give you some absolute truth, okay? Absolute truth is this. Once you know it, you're responsible for it. Amen? And if you're responsible for it, that means the onus is off of me and the church, and it's placed squarely on you. And God has sent me today as a messenger. So if you're sitting here, you're not here by accident. God's we'll never meet like this again. Do you know that? We'll never meet like this again, ever. This group of people that's here, this number of people that are here, the heart that you came with today, God knows every bit of it. So this message is for you. It'll never be for somebody who didn't show up. Well, I wish so-and-so would have heard this. Well, too bad. They're not here. It's for you. Amen? So when you're listening to this, listen to it for yourself. John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Y'all see that? A ruler of the Jews? He wasn't just a ruler of the Jews. He sat on the Sanhedrin. He was a high priest. He was respected. He was renowned. He was religious but not saved. There's maybe a few in here like that. I'll let that settle. The same came to Jesus by night. I mean, we all come to Him by night. We all come out of the darkness of sin. Not one person in here was born righteous. Not one. And said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He was wrong. Amen? Some of y'all will be wrong about this too. He was not a teacher come from God. He was God. Jesus is not a teacher. He's not somebody special. He's not somebody that's just, you know, God anointed, God put something on. No, He was God in the flesh. He was not a teacher sent from God. He was the teacher. Amen? He was the rabbi. He was the master. He had that wrong. And some of y'all are sitting here right now going, I can't believe, Kevin, you're just, you know, really busting him up. He can't. At least he said something good. We all say stuff good sometimes about God. But it doesn't matter how good you say or how good you approach. It doesn't matter how you approach God. It's how you leave from God. Amen? There was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and he ran to him, and he slid and fell down on his knees. If you had watched it from afar off, you would have went, wow, what an amazing entry. Amen? I mean, he slid on both knees, and he said, oh, Master, what must I do to inherit? Once again, he was wrong. You don't inherit the kingdom of God. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to accept His sacrifice for your sin. What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said something amazing to him. He said, give all you have away to the poor and take up your cross and follow me. And he said he got up and walked away sadly because he had much. And Jesus was broken in heart watching him walk away. And he gets broken in heart watching you walk away time and time again. You've heard the gospel since you were little. You've heard the gospel since you started having reasoning and understanding. And yet every time you hear it, you make an excuse and you walk away. You're not willing to give away something temporal for something eternal. The man, I guarantee you now, that's been 2,000 years since this man approached Jesus, I guarantee you this, he would trade that wealth and those riches in a heartbeat for the cross any day since eternities came. Amen. So Nicodemus came to him and said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And he wasn't. He was the teacher. For no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. God wasn't with him. God was him. Amen. Do you know that Jesus Christ is God? Do you know in our culture today, in our world today, it is all right to say God? You can say God because that covers a lot of things. But once you want to separate yourself from the world, just start using the name of Jesus Christ. That separates. Don't say, now God, we know who we're talking about. We're talking about Jehovah God. We're talking about the same person. But once we say, in the expressed image of God is Jesus Christ, the one who died for my sins, is the Lord of my life, and he'll judge this world. And all of a sudden, you'll be a hater. You'll be somebody who's closed-minded, narrow-minded, and somebody who don't understand. But let me tell you something. I'd rather have my mind closed and understand who Jesus is than open my mind completely and let my brains fall out. Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher. It'll be all right if you say amen every once in a while. It won't hurt my feelings. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I love this. He came to him in all of his religious stuff and gave all of his rhetoric and said he knows this and he knows that and he knows that. And Jesus didn't say anything else about it. Just looked right at him and said, you must be born again. So let me tell you this. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what your background is. I don't care how many times you've been to church. I don't care if you grew up Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, or Methodist. I really don't care. I don't care if you went to a non-denomination church. I don't care. I don't care if you weren't raised in church. I want you to know this. If you're here this morning, before you enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. That's you, that's me, that's everybody in here. You can't get into heaven any other way. You can't do it by good works. Can't do it because you're good. Can't do it because, you know, God's just a good God up there in heaven and he can't cast anybody into hell. He won't. Amen? He won't just cast anybody into hell. He'll cast somebody who rejected him and rejected everything that he gave them, the opportunities over their lifetime, the 365 days a year. You got 224 hours in a day. That's 7 days in a week. Every time you rejected him, he looked at you and said, I know who you are. I know what I've done. I know how I came to you. Some of you, well, I don't get the same time everybody else got. Well, you're sitting here. You got no excuse. How about the people in the third world countries? How about the people in Africa? How about the people in South America? How about the people? Guess what? Those people, if they heard the gospel one time, they'd come to Jesus Christ in a heartbeat. Amen? We went to Arkansas and preached in 3 schools, and 150 kids came to Jesus Christ. And you say, why did they come to Jesus Christ? Because the gospel's not being presented in schools much anymore. Amen? Will we get in trouble for that? I don't know. We'll wait and see. Amen? But I'd rather get in trouble for preaching Jesus and sharing Jesus than get in trouble for not. Amen? I know I'm speaking fast and kind of a little bit different this morning. That's okay. I kind of like it. Amen. I kind of feel like the Holy Spirit's on me, so I'm doing this thing, and I know it ain't me, so I'm good. Everybody in here is going, what happened to our preacher in Arkansas? I don't know. But I'm kind of digging it this morning. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 33. Let's do this. Matthew 24, verse 34. If you have your Bibles, take them, open them, look at it. I want y'all to see it because it's powerful. Now, here's some more straight-up truths, okay? This ain't emotion. This ain't me running, sweating, spitting, stuff like this. This is just absolute truth from God. If you notice, you've got a red-letter Bible when you open to that. Guess who's talking right here? It's Jesus. So if Jesus is talking, guess what? I'd pay attention because this is absolute truth. Amen? I'm not saying the whole Bible's written by the inspiration of God. God breathed. Amen? Man, I'm kind of digging this. Y'all liking this stuff? Man, I might just keep doing this for a while. Did I give y'all enough time to find Matthew 24, verse 34? Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass before all these things be fulfilled. Right? Okay, so guess what? What are those things being fulfilled? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Jesus said right here, one day this world will pass away. Amen? Now listen, I want you to understand this completely. You're going to pass away. You're going to pass away before the Lord comes back, or you'll pass away when the Lord comes back. Amen? This corruption will put on incorruption. This body will peel off. Amen? And our spirit man will go up. Then we'll get a new body created by God. Amen? Or you'll be separated from God in eternity. Amen? So the first ones will rise in Christ, and the ones for the second judgment, which is the white throne judgment, will be left here, and God will judge them. Amen? There'll be two separate judgments. If you're born again, you'll be in one judgment. You'll be in what is called the bride ceremony. Amen? Some of y'all are worried about the bride ceremony. You go, well, I got to stand before God and give account for my life. No, you don't. Let me explain it this way. When you stand before God, guess what? You're going to be covered in His righteousness. He can't find you guilty or sin in you, because if you entered heaven with sin, you wouldn't be welcome there. You'd be cast out. So you're going to, when you entered in, you're going to enter in with Jesus' righteousness on you, and He's going to say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. You're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen? There's going to be a bride ceremony. You're going to marry the bridegroom, which is Christ, and the church will be married to Him. We are the bride of Christ. And let me tell you something. I want you to know this. Even Ray Turner would tell you this. Even at his ceremony for his wedding, he did not beat his wife when she showed up. Amen? To the ceremony. Is that correct? Okay, good. I just want you to know this. Not if you love your bride, I guarantee you would, that day when she comes down that aisle, you're not wanting to beat her up. You're wanting to kind of like kiss on her and stuff like that. Amen? Golly, man, you could have helped me out. Every man in here could have got some bonus points. And one of y'all could have stood up and said, hey, man, hallelujah, praise God on that number, buddy. From that day forward, been wanting to kiss on her and hug on her. Say, hey, when the man said I do and I did, man, I did it. Amen? Golly, come on. Thank you, brother. Man, I drug that out. I drug that out for every one of you, and you still couldn't pick up on the number. Amen? Verily I say unto this generation shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but the word of God shall not pass away. So when you get to heaven, guess what? The same book, the same word, and Jesus Christ will be there too. Amen? All right, so but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Listen, God's coming back, but He's only coming back when He wants to come back. So stop listening to the world and listen to people. He's coming back on this day. He's coming back on that day. He's going to come back when He wants to come back. When the kingdom is totally fulfilled, when the gospel is preached in every reach of the world, when God is satisfied that the kingdom is built up and the people that need to be saved will be saved, and that last person says, I do, guess what? God will come back, amen, but not before then. And He is the author of it and the finisher of this world, amen? So don't listen to anybody that's saying, hey, He's going to come in 2020 or 21, 22, 23. I don't care if He comes from another 100 years or if He comes tomorrow. He's long-suffering, amen? So He's going to come when He wants to come. Amen? You got to be ready. Let's listen to that last part. I'm just being honest with you. This is not emotion. This is just Jesus. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in that day that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So also the coming of the Son of Man must be. They shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken away, and the other left. Two men shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore. Listen, I want y'all to get that. That's about 50%. Amen? He duplicates this over and over. There's one person going and one person staying. So listen, in a crowd this side, there's going to be some people staying, and there's going to be people going. Amen? Watch therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord doth come. Believe this. But know this, that if the good man, verse 43, make this a life verse. Y'all need to get it. Look right at it if you got your Bible open. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for at such hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Now, I know this is old school preaching. You probably say, man, they've been preaching this. I don't care. Erase that from your memory bank at this point right here. I want to tell you this. God's going to come back like a thief in the night. When you think, when I'm being honest, when you think, man, He ain't coming back, that's when He's coming back. He'll either come back for you like that, or He'll come back for the whole world like that. There's going to be a day when everybody in this world would think, man, God ain't never coming back, and the shout will come, the sky will part, we will rise, and we will be gone, and the world will sit there and go, I don't know what happened. There will be graves busted out all over the world. There will be caskets and dirt and stuff flying, and people will say, man, what in the world? And the only one thing that all those people had in common is they said they believed in Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Are you? Now, let me ask you this. If you're ready, are you getting other people ready? Because being ready is one thing, man. That's good. But are you getting anybody else ready? Does anybody else know how you got saved and where you're headed? Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Some of y'all thought we were almost done, but we are not. We're just about to get started. That's what happens when you come out of revival. I know most of you won't come back tonight, so I'm going to preach to you now. Matthew chapter 25, you ready? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. I love this. For years and years and years, I had a hard time preaching this because every time I read that, I say, man, 10 virgins. Can't equate. Can't figure it. So I went and I studied it out and I figured it out. It's 10 people who are bridesmaids. All right, let's break it down a little bit further. 10 people who want to be married to God. No. Let's scratch that. Hey, Racy, can you Windex, scrape, wipe it clean? Y'all ready for another thought? Let's put it in. All right. 10 people who want to be married. 10 people who want to be married to somebody for security, peace, and love, and joy, and happiness. Amen? Then ultimately, we do it at the church. 10 people who want to be connected to God. 10 people who want to be connected to God at the end of this life. That way they don't go into eternity separated from God. They don't go into a place called hell. All 10 wanted that. All 10 of them. All 10 of them come to the marriage ceremony. Happy to, man, even in their frumpy dresses. Everybody that's been a bridesmaid should have said amen on that. You know what I mean? Who picked these? No, oh, I'm sorry. Bridesmaids don't want to be shown up on that day. Amen? Okay. So the 10 brides, they all want to be married. They all want to be connected, and they come to the marriage. Let's go back to culture. Jewish culture. What happened is the bridegroom would go to his father's house, build onto his father's property, add to the property, until the father said, it's good enough, go get your bride. They would go get the bride. They would have a ceremony where they got married. Some of y'all women should perk your ears up right here, especially if you're about to get married. Amen? They would have about a month-long celebration for marriage. Let's just cut the word. It wasn't a celebration. It was a party. Amen? I know the church has a hard time with party dancing and stuff like that, but I'm just saying it was a party. It was a great thing because the bride was marrying the bridegroom, and they were all excited, and they would be together forever. And this was a culmination of that. It's a culmination of a period where they learned how to be friends. Then they learned how each other would react. They learned each other's family. Then they got married, and then they consummated the marriage at the end of the marriage vows. Hey, man, preacher, you old school preacher. You old school preacher, just throwing in that sexual stuff right at the end. Sly. I know. But guess what? They would party until the last day of the marriage ceremony, and then they would go home. But they wouldn't go home until after sundown. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! They wouldn't go, the bride would say, it's, man, I don't know about some of you men. Hey, honey, it's time to go home. Amen? We've had a great time. Music's off the charts. Preacher preached a great message. We got a good word. We ate. We're filled. Man, this group, I love everybody in the crowd, but it's time to separate from the crowd. Amen? Come on. Some of you, never mind. Okay, so they leave after sunset into the dark. So that's why they have to, all of them have lamps. Y'all got me now? So when I read this for years, I didn't understand. I just kind of went on a whim, you know what I'm saying? Why are they going into a field with a bunch of lamps? It didn't make any sense to me, but I just started culture and understanding what's going on. So these 10 bridesmaids, man, they want to get married. So guess what? They're following somebody who is married or hooked up. Amen? I said hooked up. I'm sorry. Because see, the older crowd, they're like, well, and then the other young crowd, like, hooked up. All right, let's say it this way. Two of them were married, and the bride, and the bridegroom's pulling the bride. You know? Well, in this case, they said, well, meet me right over there. When the sun starts going down, I want you to meet me right over there. And he's hanging out with his friends. You've been hanging out with your friends. You cut the cake. You did the whole nine yards. So the bride was going out to meet the bridegroom, and the 10 bridesmaids were like, we're going to go and see how this is. Some of y'all need to do that. Some of y'all need to find somebody who is married to Christ, look at their life, and learn how to love God the way you're supposed to. Amen. So they got to following. And the Bible's so cool like this. It don't mince words, and nor should we. Listen to this. It says, listen to this. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. Five were saved and five weren't. They were the foolish, took their lamps and took no oil with them. Do you have any oil? That's the title of this message. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Amen? Listen, the difference between a saved person and a lost person is the fruit inside their heart, the residence of the Holy Spirit. The resident of the Holy Spirit guides you through this life but burns into eternity. Whew. Amen? I'll say it again. Guide you through this life but will burn through eternity. Amen? I'm talking about it will lead. I've got something on the inside since I got saved, August 28 of 04, that's burning on the inside who's looking for eternity. I don't like anybody says, one day you could just say you don't love God anymore. No, I don't think it works like that because I have God in me who says he loves him no matter what, and we're not departing until we depart out of this world. Amen? So all of a sudden, there was five fools, five wise, and all of a sudden it got late. Amen? And the five wise had a little extra oil. Amen? Everybody in here was born. Everybody in here is going to die once. Amen? Just don't die twice. Amen? Amen? I'm not going to die twice. I'm not going to spiritually die. I'm going to live because of the Holy Spirit in me. Listen, everybody has a flame. Everybody in here is breathing. You got a flame. God breathed into your lungs one day and gave you life. You came from the dirt and you're going to go back to the dirt, but God breathed into your life. You got a flame going. Amen? What you need is that extra oil. I don't care who you are. You need it. Listen to this. I love this. Watch there. All right. The oil, while the bride, verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. All of them. Amen? I think that's what's going on in most churches and most cultures in our United States today, especially, is the church is asleep. We're just waiting for Jesus to come back. We're so asleep, and the world's asleep, and we don't care if they got any oil or not, but we're all asleep until Jesus comes back. That's the end times. If we were on fire, God couldn't come back because we'd be seeing souls saved left after right, like that. But guess what? He's tarrying because we're all slumbering, even the church. But guess what? There's some of you sleeping without Jesus, and that's dangerous. When I mean sleeping, I don't mean you to sleep in a bed. I mean you're unconscious to God. Amen? It's dangerous because when you wake up, it might be too late. Amen? Because when the bridegroom finally decided it's time to go, amen, he came. Listen. And at midnight, why does it say midnight? I always wonder that. At midnight, where the cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye to meet him. Why midnight? Have you ever fell asleep and woke up at midnight like that? Somebody wake you up? Somebody almost broke in our house. Well, no, we didn't break in our house. When we moved in my new house in Dunlap, we had a garage door that was funky, and we didn't know it. So I went somewhere, and my garage door opened. And Melissa called me and said, somebody tried to break in the house. Okay, so I head back down to Dunlap. I get down there, and the garage door was open and closed. We thought somebody came by and maybe had some kind of rigging thing to open and close the door. We're panicked, kind of, you know what I'm saying? We ain't been in the house maybe 24, 48 hours. So that night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm laying in the bed, and all of a sudden the garage door goes, it wasn't the prettiest sight you ever seen because I sprang up out of the bed as fast as I could, and I ain't going to say what I did or didn't have on. Amen. Grabbed the .40 caliber Smith & Wesson from the tabletop, went through the house, went outside, around the house, garage doors opening and closing back, and man, I'm on force recon duty outside at 3 o'clock in the morning in the middle of Dunlap, amen? Barefoot. It's a beautiful sight, amen? It's a beautiful thing. Well, come to find out a few days later, we find out we got a short in the garage door, amen? But man, if your heart's racing at 100 miles an hour and you don't know who's an enemy or a foe, you don't know what's good or bad, you don't know up or down, you don't know if you're going to make it or not, man, adrenaline's pumping, man. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's what's going to be like one day. God's going to come back. Amen? And you're going to wake up out of your slumber, saved or unsaved. The saved people finally get it together and you'll take that oil and pour it in the lamp, start your fire, you'll be ready to go with a master, with a bridegroom. The lost people will be sitting there trying to figure out, what are you talking about? I wasn't prepared. I didn't think this really was going to happen. I really didn't think. I heard it. I heard the preacher say, and I heard they sang about Jesus' second coming, and they said that. I just didn't think it was possible. And man, I'm kind of disoriented. I'm confused. I wasn't ready for him to come back this day, at this time in my life. And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Man, I want to give you the oil so bad. But I can't give it to you when the Lord comes back. I can give it to you today. I can give it to you today. All you got to do is come up here and say, Jesus Christ, forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. I believe in what you did at Calvary. Lead, guide, and direct me. And if you start seeing fruit and production of Christ in your life, and He's got possession of you, then guess what? You got a dose of the oil. And guess what? It will remain. But if you wait around until God comes back, we can't pour into you that time, because we got enough to get in, and that's all we got. We just got enough. Salvation is not hereditary. I can't save you. I can't give you what's mine. Paul said, I wished I could be accursed that my brethren be saved. He said, I wish, man, I've got kids, I've got relatives, I've got friends. I wish I could take what I have and put it on somebody else. I wish I could wrestle you down to the altar this morning and pour Jesus on you. I can't. It's a free gift. You must accept it yourself. But the foolish said unto the wise, give us the oil. Verse 9, and but the wise saith, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went away, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready in with them to the marriage. They went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Listen, the ones that are ready went. If you're ready, you ain't got to worry about it. Ain't this weird? I kind of picture this in a field in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden there's a door there. Where's the door come from? You know who it is? Jesus. He said, I am the door to heaven. Amen. Listen, you don't have to have a theological degree to figure out a door. I mean, anybody can figure out a doorway. A door is how you get access. We've got several doors in this room. There's a door right there, a door right there, a door right there. There's two doors behind that door and a door right there. If this place catches on fire, which door do you want to go out of? That one, because it gets you out of the fire. Some of y'all are trying to go through the other doors that just lead you into further fire instead of going through the door. And when that door shows up in our world, He's going to say, come on in. He's going to open up to those who are ready. Ready. Ready means ready now. Not ready tomorrow. Ready the next. The day of the time and the day of salvation is today. Don't keep putting God off, because one day, let's just read it. You won't believe it unless I read it. Verse 11, afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, 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 I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man cometh. Sarah, come on. Listen, I want to tell you this. They came, and listen, God's not a mean God. He's not. He's not. He wanted to save the whole world. It's God's will that all men be saved. That's why the invitation is being made to everyone today. Amen? Well, when they came, they weren't ready, so when the world ended, when the time came, they stood before God and said, well, let us enter in too. He said, I don't know. Listen to what he said. I don't know you. Wait a minute, a God that created you in the womb, knit every hair on your head, made you, completed you, knows every breath you got, knew every way. Now He don't know you, but when you stand before Him in that time, He's speaking to your spirit. Amen? He's not talking to your flesh man anymore. He made that. Once it passes away, your spirit's either been born again or not. Amen? And if it hasn't been born again, and when you stand before Him, He goes, I do not recognize you, because I did not write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, so you cannot gain entry. I gave you so many times, and you'll be standing before a judgment seat, and He'll say, and this time I gave you, and this time I gave you, and this opportunity. And you can blame your mother, your father, your pastor, your past, your future, and everybody in between. But let me tell you this, you can't blame anybody, because today I'm offering you this. I don't care what your background is, nor where you came from. Come, throw yourself on the mercy of Jesus Christ. Ask him to be the Lord of your life. Ask him to give you access through the door, which is himself, to heaven. And say, let me be saved. And you will be ready. Amen. You'll be ready to go to heaven, but guess what? You'll also be ready to live for the very first time. Because you'll walk out of here with a different want to. You'll want to do different things than you've ever wanted to do in your life. You'll sit around in a week from now going, who are you? And God will say, don't worry, I got this. I'm rewriting who you are. Let's all stand as Sarah sings. If God's spoken to you, come. Don't even wait. You don't need me to pray. You don't need anybody in this church. Just step out and step up and pray. I don't care if you need salvation. I don't know if you need healing in your life. I don't know if you got something in your past. Just come and seek the Lord. You have time. Come, please. If you wait around, you'll say, no, I won't.